So can anybody tell me what time is it? How do you know those things? Can you read the signs? That's great. Like time, I'm not going to specifically talk about time, but time itself is a difficult thing sometimes to get right. And often I've gotten it wrong. I remember like when we were still married in the beginning, I would start having discussions with my wife whilst on the way home in a car, something that was meant for eye-to-eye contact. Like I've grown actually. On Tuesday, I set aside my date with Niku and told my wife, okay, we need to talk because there's some important stuff. But prior to that, I've gotten it wrong where your timing is out. And then the results that you hope for isn't what you expected or what you felt God was supposed to do. And I've done this, like I can just give another example. A few months ago, I had a dream. I don't dream often, but when I do, and as vivid as those ones, God usually wants me to respond to that. And if I have a friend that, he used to be one of my best school friends. And in this dream, it was like literally I was walking, I think it was in Stellenbosch, but I was walking around and everybody was coming like out of church on their way to have a dorp now because they're going to celebrate my friend who's just died. Because Luan is a cool O. We're gonna party his life. And I was like, but I was walking around asking people in the dream, but was he saved? Like I went to his wife and I asked her, was he saved? Did he give his life to the Lord? And she couldn't answer me. And I knew I had to speak to him that time. And lo and behold, that next weekend we were in Mariesburg. A good opportunity just to reach out to him. So I thought, I'll send him an SMS. And then he didn't respond. And I'm like, I probably did my best. So 2 weeks passed. But this continuously stayed on my spirit. I couldn't remove it. Like literally, I knew the time was supposed to be now. So we went again and again. I sent an SMS, my due service. And once again, he did not respond. And then there was a message, it was in cell group. That's why we go to cell, because we do church there as well. We challenge each other to respond to something God has laid in your heart. But literally, it needs to be an action. You need to do something. Go. I said, okay, I need to do something. Let me phone Luan. So I phoned Luan, and I don't have a lot of tact in itself. So I thought, how else would I describe this dream to him? So I didn't describe him, I just told him what I dreamed. So as you would know, it would be kind of shocked to hear from somebody that I saw 3 years ago last that you were going to die. Well, that's what I dreamed, and a lot of other stuff. And so immediately there was confusion, immediately condemnation. Anyway, so he sounded a bit shocked, and then I left it, and then I got a message from his wife, which is never a good thing. When you speak to the husband, you get a message from the wife. It usually means something went wrong. And there was, the problem is, one of their best friends, the husband died just the previous weekend. So immediately, and his father died, and his brother died, and there's just so much death in his family. So because of my timing, I wasn't obedient immediately. The word that we received was in condemnation, was in my life is in danger. Instead of, there's a God that wants relationship with you. Return to Him. If I shared the message prior to, or when I had to, He would have received, because eventually I just went through a long explanation to him and his wife, repented for my sin, but I explained to him, and eventually they received it as there's hope. If we turn to God, He is our life. We find hope. We find the salvation in Him, and that is timing. like God's word is specific to us based on time. You'll see a lot of things. It says God came to earth at the correct time. So timing is important in the way we respond to God. And I'm going to take this off now because it's a bit weird. And there's one man who got God's timing also wrong. His name is Jonah. Go to the first slide. I'm just going to explain a bit about the time Jonah lived in. Jonah was a prophet from, he was born near Nazareth, and he was a prophet to the Israel people. But by that time, Israel was already divided. It was Judah and Benjamin in the south, and the northern was the Israel tribes. And at that time, he was sent to Jeroboam. Anyway, it was an evil king to deliver the just a message from God. Just to put in perspective, the whole story of Jonah is based on him having to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Now, the dark green is where Assyria, Jonah already died, but Jonah was alive, that light green, that whole area was Assyria. They were one of the biggest kingdoms ever in the known history of man. The Assyrians, their kingdom, were the biggest. And I pretty much, when I just read up about the Assyrians, they were awesome. Like, they were war machines. They divided the circle into 360 degrees. They put longitude and latitude on maps. They created, like, a storm ram. Like, literally, when they broke open, they would literally go and conquer a city. They created, like, a storm ram, but literally, it's a thing that burst through a wall. But they adapted it so much so that oil and arrows from above could not penetrate it. So literally, they would have an army below this thing and just destroy that door and just went in. And literally, they would not just conquer a place. They would inhabit it. Like, literally, they would bring their own people and intermarry, or just those who submit to them, they will intermarry, and those who don't, they literally would tore them in pieces and hang them for the other kingdoms to see. They were extremely brutal in the way they warfared. So Jonah, in that little yellow space, is Israel and Judah, and the rest is not. So Jonah was asked, who knows the story of Jonah? Let me just ask. Okay. So Jonah was asked by God to go to Nineveh and deliver a message. Jonah decided, this is not really what I would like to do. So Jonah decided, just on that map, there, where my finger is now, that's Nineveh. Just bring the next map on. That is where Jonah went to. So that's very similar to when God calls us to repentance. We are going one way, and God says, if you repent and turn away from your sin. Jonah decided to go the other way. Like, literally, it's 2,700 miles. That's where he went. So, as you can see, he did not agree with God's call on his life. And when Jonah, so Jonah decided to get on the ship and pretty much go to Tarshish. On the ship, storm comes, and Jonah reveals to the sailors, it's me. God wants to pretty much, if you want to have everything work out for you, or want to save the stop, then just throw me overboard. And they did that, and everything calmed down. I actually want to just stay on this, but who of you know that Jonah actually died? Am I rocking your boat now? Jonah died. It said he sunk to the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea, at an average, is 1,500 meters deep. 1.5 kilometers. It says he was covered in seaweed. He stood at the bottoms of the mountains. And what makes it more, just if you don't believe that, his prayers, he says, he prays from Sheol, that is the abode of the dead. So Jonah died. He died an atoning death. That means to remove the wrath of God from the sailors. He died an atoning death. Isn't that similar to somebody else who died on our behalf? Atoning death. And isn't it also similar that he spent 3 days and three nights in the whale? And so did Jesus spend 3 days and three nights in Sheol. As Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 21, is, I will give you the sign of Jonah, foretelling what already happened. So Jonah was a resurrection. And there are, Jonah is the, go to the next slide, he's the only prophet. I've got 8 nature miracles in that little passage of 4 chapters. There are 8 nature miracles that God did on his way to Nineveh and during the whole time. And it just speaks of God's hand being part of, even in Jonah's sin, God was always present. His desire to bring him back, his desire to wake him up, turn from your wicked ways. But I think the key question I have to address is, or that you probably have, is, but why did Jonah go? Or why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? Because at that time, Nineveh was, the Assyrians wasn't really attacking Judah or Israel. They were busy with Babylon. They called it the Babylonian problem. So they weren't really the target of the Assyrians. And yet, God asked him to give him a message, and he said, well, I'll go 2,700 miles the other way you want me to go. And it started earlier when God asked him to go bless that evil king from Israel. He said that he must go bless him and tell him that he's going to extend his borders. So Jonah goes and speaks to this evil king. And one would think that this word of blessing, this prophecy, would turn this evil king around and respond to God and bring people united under him. He does exactly the opposite. He becomes more evil. There's more debauchery, more afgoderij. But anyway, he becomes more evil. Like the word of God didn't change. And how often have we felt this, that, God, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you fix this. And God, when God asked him to go to Nineveh, he was like, I've been down this road again. I know what they're going to do. They're just going to go back. They're just going to go back to doing what they're going to be more evil. And that is where we pick up. It's going to read for us Jonah 3, verse 1 to 5 and then 10. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. The English Standard Version says that I tell you. I will deal with that later. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When God saw what they have done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Okay. The whole message starts with the word then. And then, for me, signifies that whatever you have done, God gives you an. God wants you to act now. No matter what Jonah did or how he eventually got to Nineveh, the word says then. And it, for me, it's that premise where whatever has happened, I now have a chance to obey God. That there is, and God says, He thinks of our sin no more. It's not, God doesn't have like a backpack full of your sin, and when you feel guilty, He brings it in front of Him. He says He thinks of our sin no more. Just go to the next slide. The word also says He gave. The word of God came to him a second time. And that second, we can look at ourselves or pretty much our life as he's the God of another chance. Because God did not relinquish his plans because Jonah failed the first time. God did not stop reaching out to me the first time I rejected him. We have a loving Father that desires for us and whatever His kingdom will, to submit, to be at that place where we hear from Him. And I'm encouraged by that there's another chance extended to us through grace and mercy. Somebody else who got it wrong was Moses. The Word of God says the Israelites were supposed to be under affliction for 400 years. Yet they only left after 430 years. Because Moses, 10 years prior to them supposing to leave, felt, he knew there was a calling on God, on his heart, or there was a calling on his life. Because he said that he did not, he lived like the Israelites even within the palace. But he wanted to bring salvation by his own hand. That's why when he saw the injustice, he acted upon it and murdered the Egyptian. But he was early. He got the timing wrong. So he had to go to the desert for 40 years. And literally it says precisely 40 years later, that's the day when the Israelites left Egypt, and then they spent another 40 years in the Egypt, in the desert himself, being guided by somebody who did not understand the timing always as well. But for me, that is an encouraging message. We have another chance. God did not stop when Moses faltered and he murdered people. So we're in good step, I think. The third thing is, when God speaks to us, he uses a message. But it's not, like for Moses, it wasn't a blueprint. Moses didn't know, yes, this is how it's going to work from beginning to end. The Word of God says he's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Mostly because between the lamp and the light, we need to go to the source and hear what is the next step. And the same with the reason why I put that initial part on verse 3 on the English Standard Version is, the English Standard Version says, go to Nineveh and deliver the message that I tell you. It speaks, first go to Nineveh. When you're there, I will give you a message that you must tell. I don't give you all of it. We're supposed to depend, supposed to grab hold of the one who gives the message. And then the other key word is went. Obedience requires you to go. There's no other way to do it. Obedience, the only thing that fulfilled obedience for Jonah was actually going to Nineveh. We saw that when he went the other way, a lot of terrible things happened. But I think standing still will also produce similar worse results. But you will, to fulfill the requirements of obedience, you need to go. You'll need to respond. So that feeling, that tugging that you have sometimes in your heart, that I should help, or should I give, or if there's no condemnation there, if it's really, it's a place where you feel, yes, there's freedom to give, and you don't, you are stalling the goodness of God. The kingdom, his kingdom will not be established in that area. And then the last word is believe. And it seems Jonah was wrong, because the people of Nineveh believed him. And they repented. They say they go, they put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, when you put on sackcloth and ashes, literally, they say that it's the skin of a dead animal that's like turned inside out. So it's extremely uncomfortable having this thing on. And then another place where Mordechai heard that the king wants to destroy all Jews, they called for all the Jews to go and sit in sackcloth and ashes, because it's a national emergency. It's like literally, it is the worst thing that can happen. And that is what the Ninevites resemble. They literally did, they understood that it is of critical importance, like how evil they were. Like the tree, not only did they themselves put on sackcloth and ashes, but even their animals. Isn't that like a little picture of God in the 6 day creating animal and man, and then both of them, that which is submitted under man, also acts in repentance, like also has to wear, like literally they didn't eat something. There was a fast proclaimed in the whole of Nineveh. And Nineveh was not like Jericho. Nineveh was massive. It's literally at a circumference of 7 miles. So it's a very, very big city. And the whole place repented. That being said, they did go away and literally became worse, like Jonah said. But God's heart is for that, his kingdom to be established. And the reason we must not look at the response is because the act, our act of obedience, is not justified by the response. I promise you, I've said things to people, and the way they responded did not bring joy to my spirit. That does not mean I was wrong. But our obedience, the result, or whether we are successful in our obedience, is not dependent on the recipient's response. Let's go to the next slide, please. It says there that the Assyrians stopped their evil ways. It was not merely a repentance by voice, saying, "Oh Lord, please forgive me." Literally, God saw that they stopped doing their evil works. And isn't that just a little bit of a picture of Jonah, who stopped turning away from what God said to him and submitted himself unto the will of God now? In Acts 26, verse 20, Paul says, "First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all of Judea, then the Gentiles, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." Our repentance, their repentance, the Assyrians' repentance, Jonah's repentance, was fulfilled by the deeds they did. It was not merely words that they said. They acted their repentance. And then when they acted, when Jonah acted, when the Assyrians acted, God stopped. God stopped the ocean, or the storm. God stopped his judgment on the Assyrians. And when God stopped his judgment, and we have shown our acts of repentance, let's go to the next slide. Then we get another chance. And God talks to us through his word and spirit. And we go in obedience whether they believe or not. This thing has come full circle for Jonah and the Ninevites. His act of obedience allowed God to use that then moment. It's coming, the word coming to him a second time. And then he went in obedience, whether the Assyrians believed or not. There's a parable in Matthew 21, verse 28 to 32, of the two sons. And Jesus said that these two sons, the father asked the two sons, who's going to work in the vineyard? The one says, "I will," and he didn't go. The other says, "I won't," but he went. And verse 31 says, "Which of these two did what the father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Our acts of obedience, acts of repentance, is what establishes God's will and gives us a second chance, allows his message to come to us. But there's one thing that we must beware of. Let's go to the previous slide. In describing this Nineveh, it said the great city that was so large that it took 3 days to see it all. Fear, the largeness, the authority, my own doubts, my own previous experiences like Jonah had experienced from that evil king will come and minister to you. You are, the city is too large. They're going to continue in the evil way. But those are only things that will stop God's kingdom from coming to pass. And the Assyrians, as bad as they were, and they were destroyed 150 years later because they were just very evil. After God came, after Jesus came, from 30 AD to, I think, 1000, the biggest movement of Christians were the Assyrian Christians. God used the army for evil, for army for his will and purposes. Like, literally, if you go and read the text, they were all over Asia. Like, literally, it was an army determined to fulfill God's will. I believe, just based on this message, there are two questions we need to ask God. And the first is where have I been disobedient when you asked me something? Because we see with Jonah's life, things stopped dramatically in his life because of his disobedience. And know that your own disobedience, Moses' disobedience, caused significant problems. Your own disobedience where God has asked you have stopped you in certain areas. This is the time where we ask God to show us what that is. So would you mind just closing your eyes? I just want to use this time for ministry. But I really believe that when God gives us this clear message through Jonah, that he will give us clarity regarding what have we missed. So I'm just going to pray for us, and I trust that God will minister into your hearts, and then we respond. Lord, when I spend this time with you, God, and I just asked you, Lord, what don't you like in my life at the moment, God? And immediately you showed me my anger, Lord. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you will come and show each one of us here, Lord, when we come to that place of repentance, Lord, like you took me there, Lord, that, God, where have we missed your call, God? Where have we been disobedient when you clearly laid it on our hearts, the message, like you gave to Jonah, Lord. That message, Lord, where have we received it and not responded, Lord? Holy Spirit, come and reveal to us this morning where that is. Is there anybody here that knows of such an experience that you felt you missed God? Is there anybody that have missed God? Okay. Okay, then the next thing is, based on what Jonah did, is to ask God for another chance. Sometimes we are so hardened, we are so blind to our own comforts, that we need to actually ask God, take me back to that place. Something you always hear, or I always hear in shofar circles, is you can never move beyond your last step of obedience. Let us ask God to give us another chance. He is faithful. Let's just spend this time. Oh Lord, I'm just reminded, Lord, of that. There's a man at work, Lord. God that works on this, or that's on the street, Lord, that where you've actually asked me to go to him, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that it's not too late, Lord. I pray, Lord, that God, I still have a chance, Lord, there. Give me another chance, Lord. Produce another chance for me, Lord, to act in obedience, Lord. So that I can do the works of obedience, Lord. So that I can do, that I can just receive the almost the blessing of obedience, Lord. And I just want you to all repeat after me. I want to live according to your will. I want to live according to your will. I want to live according to your will. Just repeat it. I want to live according to your will. 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 Thank you, Lord, that as we proclaim these things, Lord, you've already, Lord, put the good works out for us to do, Lord. And Lord, we are waiting, Lord. We have an expectation, Lord, that you will come, Lord, and respond, Lord, to what we have said this morning, Lord. What we have asked you, God. Because you are a good Father, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can just respond to your word, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that it will really take hold of our hearts, Lord, that we will go, Lord, and do those works, Lord. And trust you, Lord. Amen.
Let's just for a moment stay in that place, because I believe this message is so linking with what we said last week, and that is of being children of God. As adults and grown people, even learned people, we don't like to be said or to be told or to be led sometimes. And that's a cultural thing. And that's why there might be a fleshly resistance. But Frida and Sophia don't have that with me, because they know me as a loving father most of the time. And likewise, Petri's kids. And I just want to just affirm that, is that if you even struggle with God and to trust him and to say, but who's this God that wants to lead me and tell me to go to Nineveh? Just bring that, in Afrikaans the word is renounce. Just that irritation or that offense even with God, wanting to, having the audacity or the cheek to tell you what to do and to lead you. Bring that to God, because that's something that can really stifle or kill you spiritually. And I just want to give an opportunity for that. Because for Frida and Sophia, it's easy to obey my commands, because they've come to trust to know that I know better. And that whatever they will be led in will bring them life or protection as best possible as I can do it as a husband and a father. And like by Petri with his kids. And I just truly believe that's the heart that Petri carries, and that I've learned so much from him about, is that absolute obedience. Because he knows the dad, he knows the God that he's just shared about. But not all of us might experience that at the moment. And I just want to quickly pray into that for freedom to come. Remember, Jonah had to die. Jonah had to die to self. And I said this before, Pietri, I know his testimony, I know my own testimony, obviously quite well, all too well actually. But I had to die. I tried to do it all on my own, and it just was an absolute dismal disaster. Before I got to the place where I said, okay, I choose to now to trust you and to get to know you. And the rest has been history, and it's been so much more blessed. And I pray, and I believe that's Beatrice's heart, or our heart, is just for that absolute freedom. So Lord, I just linking the two things that I believe you've said over the last 2 weeks prophetically to us as a church. We just come and just give our hearts to you. Lord, it's not an emotional thing. I can't, if there's a bus, or if there's a afgrond, or if there's a shark or a crocodile, I can't go and explain everything to Frida. But out of relationship, she can jump when I say jump, Lord, because she knows my heart. She knows my love for her. And likewise, Jonah had to learn that first, Lord. And I pray for us to have those humble hearts, because as Pietri rightly said, Lord, there's blessing in obedience. Life and life in abundance is in obedience. I can't repent on our behalf, but I can just say, Lord, I repent for a stubborn heart. I repent for any rebellion in my heart, or any places where I've second-guessed your goodness, or said to you, Potter, what are you doing? I repent of that. And we can just, as you guys can just decide what you want to say to God in that area. You can decide. If you want to say, hey, Lord, soften my heart. Open up my eyes to see your goodness and get that good fatherly heart. And also, Lord, to soften my heart, to give me a heart for the people of Nineveh, not to have a selfish heart either. Let's take a half a minute and do business with the Lord. That's why we're here. We're not here to quickly listen to a sermon and run off. We're here to change, be disciples of Christ, be world changers. That's why we're here. Otherwise, we're wasting each other's time. Take a couple of minutes with the Lord. Go through those questions that Pietri popped up, and also the relational thing, the trust thing.